Volume 47, Number 11 of The Friend Magazine for November 2017.
Friends by Mail. Scripture Power. We had fun making our scripture cases, May 2017. We used them to carry our scriptures to church. Clayton and Miles H., ages 6 and 11, Utah, USA.
Scripture Charts. Every day in 2016, we read scriptures from the Friend Scripture Charts. Eli and Simon S., ages 6 and 4, New York, USA.
Brock and the Bad Word. I'd been saying a bad word, and after I read Brock and the Bad Word, I decided to say a prayer. I haven't said that word since. Kara A., age 8, Wyoming, USA.
Sundays with the Friend. We enjoy reading The Friend on Sunday afternoons as a family. Dallin, Cameron, Luke, and Travis F., ages 6, 6, 4, and 2, Texas, USA.
Dear friends, thanks for helping us fill the world with love this year. We covered the entire map of the world, and still the hearts came pouring in. You make the world a better place by showing love like Jesus did. Turn to page 24 to see some of the hearts we received. And stay tuned next month to learn about next year's theme. We love you so much. The Friend. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how.
End of Friends by Mail for November 2017.
Contents. Conference is for me. A conference message from the First Presidency. Conference news. Show and tell, conference edition. Conference notes. Stories and features. Remembering Elder Robert D. Hales. The Blessing Fish. Family Night Fun. CTR Story. A Picture-Perfect Friendship. Friends with Heart. Secret Service Sisters. The Vegetable Thief. Question Corner. Even if you can't see him. You fill the world with love. Answers from an Apostle. President Russell M. Nelson. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. Music. Called to Serve. For Older Kids. For Older Kids. Sincerely, Maisie. A Muddy Thanksgiving. Peer Pressure Problems. Snacks and Crafts. The Ripple Effect. Prayers and Pumpkins. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff. What's Different? Fun Stuff. Find It. Fun Stuff. Fish Fun. Church History Figures. Traveling West. Friend Junior. For Parents of Little Ones. Hi, Friends! Sandbox Sounds. Finding Sounds. Stories of Jesus. I Want to Follow Jesus. Coloring Page. Primary with the Prophet. End of Contents. Read by Van Farnworth.
A conference message from the First Presidency. The Yellow Angels. By President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. A few days ago, I visited Florida, USA, after Hurricane Irma hit. I met a group of Latter-day Saints who were helping clean up. They had left Georgia at 4 in the morning, driven for hours, worked into the night, and worked again the next day. As we were leaving, a man walked up to our car and said, "I'm not a member of your church. I can't believe what you have done for us. God bless you." Other members of the church from that part of Florida went hundreds of miles to another part of Florida that was hit even harder. I have heard that some people have started calling the Latter-day Saints, who are wearing the Yellow Helping Hands T-shirts, the Yellow Angels. When hard things happen, we can remember the Lord's promise in Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 88. I will go before your face. I will be on your right hand and on your left, and my spirit shall be in your hearts, and mine angels round about you to bear you up. Sometimes you will be the angel the Lord sends to bear others up or to help. Sometimes you will be the one surrounded by angels who bear you up. But always you will have His Spirit in your heart. You have only to keep His commandments. The Lord Jesus Christ knows you. He loves you, and He watches over you. I so testify, and I leave you my blessing and my love. Note, adapted from Fear Not to Do Good, Ensign, November 2017. End of A Conference Message from the First Presidency, The Yellow Angels, by President Henry B. Eyring, First Counselor in the First Presidency. Read by David Shaw.
Conference News. Listening Together. Elder Neil L. Anderson talked about how people all over the world listen to General Conference. Millions of faithful people in more than 200 countries, speaking more than 93 languages, watch or read the conference messages. Conference quotes. The things you learn in primary prepare you for the additional truths you learn. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, is the light of the world, and He beckons us to follow Him. Elder Ian S. Ardern of the 70. You are the future leaders in this church, and it will be up to you to carry this light forward. Sister Sharon Eubank, First Counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency. We missed you, President Monson. President Monson was not well enough to come to conference, so he watched it from home. Many speakers told how they love President Monson and are blessed by following him. What can you do to follow the prophet today? Conference quiz. Number 1. Who was the faithful pioneer woman Elder M. Russell Ballard talked about? Hint: her story was in last month's Friend. Number 2. What primary song did the choir sing in the Sunday afternoon session? Hint: it has the word Savior in it. And number 3. How many years has President Eyring read the Book of Mormon every day? Hint: add 3 plus 2, then multiply by 10. End of Conference News. Read by Van Farnworth.
Building a Temple by Amy Jane Levitt. One of the last tools used on a temple is a trowel. This tool is like a little shovel. It's used to put the mortar into the temple's cornerstone during a special ceremony on the day the temple is dedicated. General authorities are the first to put the mortar around the cornerstone. Then, children and other adults are often invited to help. Later, professional stonemasons make sure the mortar around the cornerstone is even and smooth. Join us each month to see how the Payson, Utah Temple was built. How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, poem, or story, 1. Fill out the form and send it in with your story or artwork. 2. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, while his family eats dinner, a young boy builds a super tall tower of olives and toothpicks. His grandmother good-naturedly remarks,
I just knew that buying an extra can of olives this year was a good idea.
End of the article. Building a Temple, read by Dwayne Case and Charlene Stewart.
Show and Tell Conference. I liked what Elder Oak said. We should show love for all people. Elijah D., age 5, Utah, USA.
I love to hear about temples and the promises we can make with Heavenly Father. I'm going to the Preston, England Temple to be sealed with my family soon. Ria K., age 5, West Yorkshire, England.
I learned about miracles and that I can look for miracles in my life. Being a child of God is a miracle. London B., age 7, Alberta, Canada.
I was very happy to learn that the Lord can help us solve our problems through our prayers. Daryl Z., age 6, Copiapó Province, Chile.
I love General Conference because I always have my questions answered. My whole body is 100% filled with truth, and I can strongly feel that what they say is real. It makes me so happy. Yarad P., age 11, Maharashtra, India.
Jordan and Alyssa H., ages 6 and 10, Pennsylvania, USA, had a picnic at the church building between sessions of conference.
I feel the love of Jesus Christ as I watch General Conference, said Jocelyn G., age 9, Sonora, Mexico. She watched conference with her sister, Jennifer, age 7, and her brother, Jesus, age 11, who said that listening to the speakers fills his heart with joy.
Joseph M., age 7, Georgia, USA, helped pull an extension cord under the pews to set up the projector so war members could watch General Conference at their church building.
Tavis S., age 12, Idaho, USA, drew his favorite thing about conference, the stories about the service done after hurricanes. The Nala family, Maharashtra, India, rides a motor scooter to church to watch General Conference.
Other contributors to Show and Tell. Isabel W., age 10, Utah, USA. Rebecca K., age 10, Wisconsin, USA. Kate H., age 10, Oregon, USA. Amelia D., age 8, Sør-Trøndelag, Norway. Simon P., age 7, Colorado, USA. End of Show and Tell, Conference Edition.
Conference Notes. Bobby the Wonder Dog. A family lost their dog, Bobby, while on vacation. 6 months later, Bobby showed up on their doorstep. It looked like he had walked all the way across the country to get back home. President Uchtdorf taught that each of us has a desire within us to return to our heavenly home. We are all on a journey together and will one day see our heavenly parents again. Write down what this teaches you.
The light of the sun. Elder Stevenson taught that sometimes the moon lines up just right with the sun and almost completely blocks its light, even though the moon is much smaller. This is called a total solar eclipse. Just like the eclipse, when we focus on our daily problems, like the small moon, instead of our eternal gospel blessings, like the large sun, it makes it harder for us to see and feel the light of Jesus Christ in our lives. Write down what this teaches you.
Never too young to serve. Sister Oscarson told the story of a 10-year-old girl named Sarah. When her mom was sick, Sarah helped her little sister get dressed, brush her teeth, fix her hair, and eat breakfast. Because of Sarah's service, her mom was able to get some extra rest. Sister Oscarson taught that you're never too young to serve. Children can strengthen their families. Write down what this teaches you.
Forever a family. When Elder Perea was a boy, his family didn't know about the church. He once asked his mother if she would still be his mom when they were in heaven. She didn't know the answer. Later, Elder Perea was happy to learn from the missionaries that families can be together after this life. we will still be fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters. Write down what this teaches you.
End of conference notes for November 2017.
Remembering Elder Robert D. Hales, 1932 to 2017. Elder Robert D. Hales of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles passed away on October 1, 2017. He was 85 years old. Elder Hales was born on August 24, 1932, in New York City. Robert liked playing with his older brother and sister in their backyard on Long Island, New York. His favorite sport was baseball, and he played on his high school and college baseball teams. Robert learned how to serve from his parents. When his mother was Relief Society president, Robert helped her deliver food to those in need. He helped his dad take care of the sacrament trays and cloths. Their family helped keep the outside of the church building clean. After high school, Robert studied business at college and came home for the summer. One summer, he met Mary Crandall. For the next 2 months, they spent every evening together, helping each other do chores and sharing family activities. They were married in 1953 in the Salt Lake Temple and had two children. After graduating from college, Robert served as a jet fighter pilot for the United States Air Force. He got a master's degree in business from Harvard University and then worked for large international companies. He and his family lived in England, Germany, Spain, and different parts of the United States. Wherever he went, he tried to be an example of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Elder Hales served as president of the England-London Mission and in many other callings before he was called as an apostle in 1994. He said, "Live your life to be a good example of what you believe, in word and deed. Like Elder Hales, each of us can be a good example wherever we live." End of the article, Remembering Robert D. Hales. Read by Dwayne Case.
The Blessing Fish by Crystal Hershey. Based on a true story. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Hymns number 241. Brayden listened to Mom read from the Bible and looked at the picture she showed him. It showed Jesus after he was resurrected. He was talking to some of his disciples who were on a fishing boat. The disciples had fished all night without catching anything. When Jesus came, he told them where to put their net to catch fish. They tossed the net into the water. This time, it caught so many fish, they couldn't pull the net back up.
"They caught that many fish?"
Brayden's brother Christian asked, eyes wide. Mom nodded and kept reading. She read how the disciples dragged the net to shore. It had caught 153 large fish, but even though it was so full, the net hadn't broken. See John chapter 21, verses 2 through 11. This time, it was Brayden who had a question.
"What do you think they did with all of the fish?"
Mom set her scriptures down on her lap.
"You know, I've read these verses many times, but I guess I never really thought about that. But I love your question. Let's keep reading and see what it says."
Soon they found a verse that said Jesus cooked fish for Peter and the other disciples.
"So they ate some of the fish?"
Brayden asked. Mom nodded, but before she read more, Christian jumped up and down.
I know. The fish were like money back then, right? Because fishing was Peter's job. Like our dad has a job building walls with cement."
Mom smiled.
"That's right. So the fish were probably a blessing to Peter's family, just like the money Dad earns is a blessing to us."
This time, Brayden's sister, Victoria, spoke up.
Maybe they traded fish with a carpenter to get some furniture. Joseph was a carpenter, right?
Mom put her arm around Victoria and squeezed her shoulders.
Wow, you guys have some great ideas about this story. Let's think of some of the blessings our family has. We already talked about one, that Dad has a job. What are some others?
Making this list was easy.
Our house.
Clothes.
Food.
Brayden and Christian and Victoria were still calling out answers when they heard Dad open the door.
You're home,
Victoria said as she jumped into his arms. Dad kissed the top of her head.
What are you kids up to?
We're talking about blessing fish,
Brayden said. Dad raised his eyebrows.
Sounds exciting. I can't wait to hear all about it.
That night, Brayden and his family decided to start a new tradition. Every night after dinner, they would tell each other about new blessings they had noticed. Tonight, Mom even brought out a bowl of fish-shaped candy to eat while they shared. Brayden smiled as he took a bite. Who knew that blessings could be so sweet? The author lives in Nevada, USA.
Sidebar. I'm trying to be more grateful, so my mom made me a gratitude tree. Every night, we talk about what I'm grateful for and write those things on leaves on the tree. Each month, we start over with a new tree. I love to be grateful. Kate G., age 6, Arizona, USA.
End of the story, The Blessing Fish.
Family Night Fun. Here are some family home evening ideas from this month's magazine. What other ideas can you come up with? Fishing for blessings. Read The Blessing Fish on page 8. Then play this game with your family to talk about ways Heavenly Father has blessed you. Number 1. Cut out 5 fish shapes from colored paper. Draw an eye and mouth on each fish and write a number between 1 and 5 on the back. 2. Slip a paper clip on each fish's mouth. 3. Tape one end of a piece of string to a magnet. Tie the other end to the string on a stick. Number 4. Place the fish number side down on the floor and take turns fishing. When you catch a fish, read the number on the back. Then think of that number of blessings and tell them to your family. Play until everyone gets a turn. Onigiri. Make this version of a fishy Japanese snack. Be sure to get an adult's help. Number 1. Cook 2 cups dry sushi rice. Look for short grain rice. In the meantime, mix 1 cup tuna with 1/4 cup mayonnaise. Number 2. Put a large scoop of warm cooked rice onto a piece of plastic wrap. 3. Make a hole in the rice and fill it with a spoonful of tuna mixture. Cover the hole with rice. 4. Wrap the plastic wrap around the rice and shape it into a ball or triangle. Then carefully remove the plastic wrap. 5. Cut a strip of nori, a paper-thin seaweed wrapper. Wrap it around the onigiri. Blessing Hunt. Here are some ways you can look for blessings every day. Keep a gratitude journal. Write at least one thing you are grateful for each day. Pray to Heavenly Father morning and night. This will help you remember that blessings come from Him. Throughout the day, look for all the different ways Heavenly Father is blessing you. Say thank you. Notice how many people help you. Don't forget to thank Heavenly Father, too. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea number 1. Read A Conference Message from the First Presidency. What did you learn from General Conference? On a piece of paper, write down a favorite message from conference and put it somewhere you and your family will see it every day. Idea 2. Talay and Phoebe have some super ideas for service. Read what they did to show love and write in your own challenge ideas. Make a family plan to give secret service to someone else. Idea number 3. Read the answers on Question Corner. What would you do if you were in that situation? Make a list with your family of things you can say no to. Then find tips for saying no on peer pressure problems. Bonus treat. Mix 1/2 cup cream cheese with 1/4 cup powdered sugar. Spread on rice cakes. Top with fruit, granola, or other toppings. End of Family Night Fun. Read by Van Farnworth.
A picture-perfect friendship. How could Avery help Jeremy smile? By Jane McBride, based on a true story. A special gift is kindness, such happiness it brings. Children's Songbook, page 145. Avery pressed her yellow crayon onto the paper. It was art time in class, and Avery was drawing a picture of herself with little flowers on her shirt. She drew 6 petals on each flower because 6 was her favorite number. Avery put down her crayon and smiled at her drawing. It was perfect. Then she noticed that Jeremy, the boy who sat next to her, was frowning. He was hunched over in his seat. Avery smiled at him, but he didn't look at her.
What did you draw? Can I see?
Jeremy didn't say anything. He covered up his paper with his red and white striped sleeve. Later, Avery and her class went to lunch. Avery sat down with a group of friends. She saw Jeremy sitting alone at another table. His eyes were big, looking around at everyone. He looked sad. Avery thought about how Jeremy usually played alone at recess. What could she do to help him feel better? That night, Avery prayed and told Heavenly Father about Jeremy. She asked Heavenly Father to help her know what to do. She stayed still even after she said amen, just thinking. Then she had an idea. Avery grabbed some crayons and paper. She drew a picture of herself and Jeremy playing with a basketball. They had big smiles on their faces. Avery carefully colored 4 red stripes on Jeremy's shirt. Then she wrote Jeremy's name at the top of the picture. When she was done, she ran to the kitchen.
Look, Mom!
She held up the picture so Mom could see.
That's a happy picture.
Avery smiled.
It's for Jeremy. He's in my class. I hope he likes it.
Avery looked at her drawing again.
Can I have a piece of candy? I want to tape it to the picture.
Mom smiled and pulled out a box from the cupboard. It was filled with little candies of all colors. Avery picked a red and white peppermint and taped it to the corner of the picture. When Avery got to school the next day, she gave the picture to Jeremy.
This is for you. I hope we can be friends.
Jeremy took the picture and looked at it. Then he grinned.
Thank you. I've never gotten a present from a friend before.
Avery's heart felt happy.
Do you want to play with me at recess?
Jeremy held up the picture. His smile was as big as the one in the drawing.
We can play basketball.
The author lives in Colorado, USA.
Print cards at ctr2017.lds.org. CTR Challenge. I will seek good friends and treat others kindly. My gospel standards. Make a picture or treat to share with someone else. Sit by someone at school or church who seems lonely. Do something kind every day this week for someone in your family. I challenge myself to...
End of the story, A Picture-Perfect Friendship. Read by Rena Nelson, Gabriel Reinwand, Kara McClellan, and Shannon Nelson.
Friends with Heart. Secret Service Sisters. From an interview by Amy Jane Levitt.
Hi,
we are Talay
and Phoebe.
We're identical twins. We were born in Hawaii, USA.
But we have lived in many other places. We don't only look alike, we also like doing things together. One time, we decided to surprise our friends and family with Secret Service. Here are a few things we did. Love and letters, secret number 1. We just moved to a new city, so we wrote letters to our friends and family who live far away.
Breakfast is served. Secret number 2. Our parents work hard to take care of us. One day, we woke up early to make them breakfast in bed with eggs, toast, and strawberries.
Reading together, secret number 3. Our little brother Malachi is learning how to read. We read a lot of books with him to help him learn the words.
Fun with friends, secret number 4. We invited a friend who isn't a member of our church to activity day. We wanted her to feel happy, make new friends, and learn about Heavenly Father and Jesus. We all had fun together.
Cheerful chores. Secret number 5. Sometimes we forget to clean our rooms and make our beds. We decided to make our rooms spotless without telling Mom. She was so surprised.
Secret service challenge. Write your own secret service challenges. Check them off when you're done. Thanks for all the hearts. Turn to page 24 to see some of the hearts we got. End of the article, Friends with Heart. Read by Maya Reinwand and Amelie Strongen.
The Vegetable Thief by Earl Griffin, based on a true story. Mom, a lady is stealing our vegetables. Because I have been given much, I too must give. Hymns number 219. Earl was sitting with Mom in the front room. From the corner of his eye, he saw something move outside the window. Earl peeked through the curtains and couldn't believe what he saw. A woman was picking vegetables out of their garden. Earl and Mom loved their garden. 2 years ago, Earl's dad had died. One thing that helped Earl and Mom feel better was working in their vegetable garden together. It reminded them of how much Dad liked working in the garden and how much he loved them. And now someone was taking the vegetables they'd worked so hard to grow.
Mom, a lady is stealing our vegetables,
Earl shouted.
I'm going to stop her.
He jumped up and ran for the door. He was going to chase that woman right out of the garden.
Earl, wait,
Mom said.
I'll go talk to her.
Earl looked out the window as Mom and the woman talked. The woman had a sad look on her face. She put her head in her hands, and it looked like she was crying. Mom gave the woman a hug.
What's going on?
Earl wondered. A few minutes later, Mom walked back into the house.
What happened?
Earl asked.
That woman needs our help. Please go get a box and fill it up with the prettiest vegetables from our garden, then load it in her car.
What? But she's stealing.
She needs our help, and we have enough vegetables to share. Do you remember what charity is?
Earl remembered learning about charity in church.
It's the pure love of Christ.
That's right. Do you think Jesus would share from his garden?
Earl knew the answer, but he still felt upset as he got a box and walked outside. The woman looked surprised and then a little embarrassed to see Earl. He didn't say anything. He just looked for the best vegetables he could find. He filled the box full of cucumbers, carrots, and tomatoes, then carried it to the woman's car. When he turned to walk back inside, Earl saw the woman's eyes were filled with tears.
Thank you. I know I shouldn't have gone into your garden without asking, but my family is hungry and we don't have food. Thank you for helping us.
You're welcome.
A small smile crossed his face. Earl didn't feel angry anymore. He was sad the lady's family was hungry, and he was glad he could share his vegetables. He could feel the Holy Ghost tell him that Heavenly Father was happy Earl had been kind. The author lives in Maryland, USA. Sidebar. Rich or poor, we are to do what we can when others are in need. Elder Jeffrey R. Holland of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. Are we not all beggars? Ensign, November 2014, page 41.
End of the story, The Vegetable Thief. Read by Kara McClellan, Gabriel and Sarah Reinwand, and Van Farnworth.
Fun stuff, find it. This family is building a gratitude tree all through November. Every day, each person writes something they're thankful for on a paper leaf and tapes it to the tree. Can you find the one thing that's written on 3 different leaves? Can you find the hidden objects?
End of Fun Stuff, Find It. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Question Corner. My friends sometimes use their phones to look at bad pictures. What should I do?
Note. Responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. Read more answers at friendqc.lds.org.
If I'm in a situation where I can't walk away, like while riding the bus, I will ask them to shut their phone off. If they won't shut it off, I will look away and say a prayer. I will ask Heavenly Father to help me get the images out of my head and to not think of them anymore. I will tell my parents as soon as possible. Kelton S., age 9, Nevada, USA.
I would cover the pictures and say, "No, thank you. I don't look at those kinds of pictures. Let's talk about something else, please." I would be friendly but firm. Seneca M., age 10, Ohio, USA.
I can tell them not to look at those kinds of pictures because it tricks your brain into thinking that love is something you feel for pictures. Quinton B., age 7, Utah, USA.
I would close my eyes and turn my head away. If they still tried to show me the pictures, I would walk away. If they still tried to show me the pictures, I would tell an adult. Aslan D., age 9, Alberta, Canada.
I would tell them our bodies are a gift from God, that we should respect them. Samuel B., age 7, Texas, USA.
Walk away and tell my parents. Brinley S., age 7, Nevada, USA.
Quickly cover the phone and tell them what they're looking at is bad. Help them turn it off. If they don't want to turn it off, then get up and leave. Mark A., age 10, Utah, USA.
What are your questions? Next year, the friend wants to answer your questions about the gospel, growing up, or getting a testimony. Email us at friend@ldschurch.org and put, "I have a question," in the subject line. Don't forget to include the permission statement on page 39. We're excited to hear from you. End of Question Corner for November 2017. Even If You Can't See Him, by Shirley Espada Ritchie, based on a true story. Some say that heaven is far away, but I feel it close around me as I pray. Children's Songbook 12. Allie threw a few pencils in her backpack and zipped it up. She was sliding it off her bed when Mom poked her head through the door.
"Is your backpack ready for school tomorrow?"
Mom asked.
"Check,"
Allie said.
"Brush your teeth?"
Allie smiled wide.
"Check."
"Say your prayers."
Allie looked up at the ceiling.
Not check.
Mom smiled.
"I can pray with you if you want."
She knelt by Allie's bed. After a moment, Allie knelt down beside her.
"Mom, do I have to pray? I feel so silly. It's like I'm talking to myself."
Mom nodded.
"I've felt that way before, too. Whenever I feel like I'm just talking to myself, I imagine Heavenly Father next to me. Then it's like I'm talking with someone in the same room."
Allie scrunched her mouth into a frown. Was it really that easy?
"It's hard that we can't see Heavenly Father, but I know He's always listening,"
Mom said. Allie folded her arms and listened to Mom pray. She tried hard to feel that Heavenly Father was next to her. Was He really listening? On Sunday, Sister Oscar put a big mirror in front of the primary room. Allie tried to get a better look, but she couldn't see past a kid making funny faces in the mirror. Then Sister Oscar stood up. Everyone watched as she pulled a cloth out of a bag.
"We're going to do an activity today. I need everyone to make a line from the mirror to the back of the room."
All the kids stood up and got in line. Allie stood at the end, and she could see Sister Oscar talking to kids in the front. The line got shorter and shorter until it was finally her turn. Allie stepped up to the mirror.
"What do you see?"
Allie blinked her eyes. The eyes in the mirror blinked too.
I see me.
"That's right. You see your reflection."
Then Sister Oscar tied the cloth around Allie's head like a blindfold. Allie couldn't see anything.
"Can you see your reflection now?"
"No."
"Is it still there?"
"Yes."
"How do you know?"
"Because I'm still in front of the mirror. I know it's still there."
Allie went back to her seat. Sister Oscar stood up at the front of the room.
Just like your reflection in the mirror, Heavenly Father is with us even when we can't see Him. He is always near us, and the best part is that we can always feel Him close.
Allie's arms tingled. Happiness filled her as she realized that what Sister Oscar said was true. That night, Allie was brushing her hair in the bathroom. Mom knocked on the door.
Are you almost ready for family prayer? It's your turn to say it.
Allie looked at herself in the mirror. She imagined Heavenly Father smiling back at her.
Check!
Allie said. The author lives in California, USA. End of the story, Even If You Can't See Him. Read by Wes, Rena, and Shannon Nelson, and Kara McClellan.
You fill the world with love. Thanks for helping us fill the world with love. We covered the entire map of the world and even started filling a box with the hearts you sent us. Keep sharing love and check the January magazine for next year's theme. We love you. Watch a video at friend.lds.org during November to see the map filling up. Read by David Shaw. Answers from an Apostle. What do people do after they die? By President Russell M. Nelson, President of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles. I would like to tell a story about my grandfather Nelson. They called him A.C. When he was just 27 years old, his father died. A few months later, his deceased father came to visit him in a vision. He was in bed when his father came and sat on the side of the bed. "What have you been doing since you died, Father?" Grandfather asked. "I've been very busy preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ," his father answered. "You cannot imagine, my son, how many spirits there are in the spirit world that have not yet received the gospel." He said many spirits were learning about the gospel and were looking forward to the time when their friends would do their temple work for them. Grandfather had another question. "Father, can you see us at all times, and do you know what we're doing?" His father said, "No, I am usually busy doing my work there. But today, I am allowed to visit for a little while." Grandfather had a third question. "Father, is it natural to die?" His father said it was as natural as being born. It was like walking through a door from one room into another room. Grandfather had one last question. "Father, is the gospel as taught by this church true?" His father pointed to a picture of the first presidency that was hanging on the wall. "Just as sure as you see that picture, just as sure is the gospel true," he said. He testified that the gospel can save everyone who obeys it, and that it's the only way to be saved in the kingdom of God. Always cling to the gospel. My grandfather's father told him to be humble, prayerful, true, and faithful. "Never do anything that would displease God," he said. "My son, be a good boy." Grandfather wrote this special experience in his journal. "I took his journal entry and made a copy for every member of my family, and I want to share the story with you, my church family."
Sidebar: when my baby sister Gracie died, I made myself feel better by remembering that she is still part of our family because my mom and dad have been sealed in the temple. I also like to sleep with Gracie's soft blanket because it makes me feel safe. I know I will see Gracie again, and that makes me happy. Chloe B., age 8, Utah, USA.
End of the article, What Do People Do After They Die? Read by David Shaw and Amelie Strongen.
Matt and Mandy. In this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, the Cooper family is raking up leaves in their yard. Mandy asks,
"Mom, Dad, can we invite my friend Lily and her dad and brother for Thanksgiving?"
"Yeah, can we? Her brother Oliver is in my class."
"We have lots to be grateful for. If we can share, that's another blessing."
"In that case, how about inviting Audrey and her mom?"
"And Franco and his dad?"
On Thanksgiving Day, the Cooper house is crowded but happy. While everyone is sitting down at the dinner table, Matt says to Mandy,
"Thanksgiving Day is in October in Canada. Do we have any family there?"
"Why?"
because next year we could go to their house for Thanksgiving. If we did this twice a year, I'd be twice as thankful.
End of Matt and Mandy.
Four older kids. My haiku. The Book of Mormon is another testament of Christ and of God. Claire E., age 11, California, USA. Where do snowmen keep their money? See page 39 for the answer. Dear Journal, what are you grateful for? Set a timer for 5 minutes and see how many things you can write down. Quick quiz. How many people did Jesus feed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish? See page 39. Family hunt. Make a family recipe. Do you know which family member it came from? Upload pictures of the recipe to the memories page of that family member on FamilySearch.org. Think about it. Challenges will come to you, but as you trust in God, they will strengthen your faith. Elder Neil L. Anderson.
One day, my mom came home with a few December Friend magazines. I decided to give one to my friend at ballet. She looked excited when she received it. I felt the Spirit when I gave it to her. I hope she feels the Spirit also when she reads it. No one is too young to be a missionary. Anna W., age 10, Washington, USA.
Sincerely, Maisie, A Muddy Thanksgiving by Charlotte May Shepherd, based on a true story. November 23rd, it's finally Thanksgiving. It was raining when I woke up, but I'm not going to let that ruin my day. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday, and I know exactly how to make it perfect. 1. Watch the parade in my fluffy cow slippers. 2. Keep Grace from spilling the punch. 3. Eat until I feel like a parade balloon. I think holding the balloons would be an awesome job, and a little bit scary too. What if you started to float away? On Thanksgiving, Mom gives us each a job to do for dinner. This year, Grace is making the punch, because last year, she was in charge of watching the oven. And let's just say, it didn't go well. Guess what? Dad just got home and he's covered in mud. He wants to talk to me and Peter right away. I gotta go. Now that Dad's the bishop of our ward, he's gone a lot. I woke up extra early and he was already out visiting people. November 23rd, again. Turns out Dad was muddy because all the rain made the creek rise, and it flooded the Wilsons' ranch. The only way to protect their house was to dig ditches to give the water somewhere to go. So me and Peter and Dad came to the rescue. So now there's mud in my hair, and on my clothes, and look, even in my journal. I missed most of the parade, but I don't feel grumpy at all. In fact, I feel, I don't know, grateful? While we were digging, a lot of ward members and other people showed up to help. By the time we were done, I realized I had a lot to be thankful for. 1. Having a family that's not afraid to get muddy helping someone out. 2. Our ward family and all their extra shovels. 3. A warm, dry house to come back to. I guess my perfect Thanksgiving didn't go exactly as planned. But seeing how happy the Wilsons were made it all worth it. The rain hasn't stopped, but I'm feeling pretty sunny. Sincerely, Maisie. The author lives in California, USA. End of the article, Sincerely, Maisie, A Muddy Thanksgiving. Read by Salem Tullis.
Peer Pressure Problems by Jordan Wright. What is peer pressure? When a friend or classmate tries to make you do something you don't want to do. Something that breaks a commandment. Something that makes you feel uncomfortable. Or just something you know isn't right. What can you do? 1. Suggest a new activity.
I don't feel good watching that. How about this one?
This is a great time to explain your standards. 2. Call for backup.
I have to be home early. See you later.
Talk to a parent ahead of time about an escape plan for dangerous or uncomfortable situations. 3. Find a friend who feels the same.
No, I'm not okay with that.
Me neither.
Be brave and help someone else be brave too. Now it's your turn. Write or draw what you would do in the situations on page 34. End of Peer Pressure Problems by Jordan Wright.
End of the article Peer Pressure Problems, read by Kristen Hawkins, Miles McClellan, and Maya Reinwand.
Snacks and crafts. Crepes, French pancakes. Ingredients: 2 eggs, 1 1/4 cups milk, 1 cup flour, 3 tablespoons melted butter. 1. Mix all the ingredients together. It's okay if the batter is a little lumpy. 2. Heat a pan on medium heat and coat it with butter or cooking spray. 3. Pour a small amount of batter, about 1/4 cup, in the pan. Slowly tip the pan back and forth to spread the batter evenly in a circle. 4. Cook on both sides until golden brown. As you cook the rest of the batter, add a bit more butter to the pan to keep the crepes from sticking. 5. Put toppings on the crepes and roll them up. Try berries, bananas, peanut butter, chocolate hazelnut spread, whipped cream, or powdered sugar. You could also make these for dinner and use meat or vegetables. Tip: cut squares of wax paper and put them between each crepe after you cook them. This will keep them from sticking together. Leaf rubbings. Put a leaf under a thin piece of paper with the leaf ridges facing up. Hold the paper in place and use the side of a crayon to rub across the area of the leaf. The shape of the leaf will appear on the paper as you rub over it. When you've finished, do it with more leaves. Try layering the leaf shapes and using different colors. End of this month's Snacks and Crafts, read by Kristen Hawkins.
The Ripple Effect by Heidi Pohlman, based on a true story. Ye are laying the foundation of a great work, and out of small things proceedeth that which is great. Doctrine and Covenants 64:33. Ryan tossed Matt the football and asked,
"So, what should we do?"
Matt tossed the ball back and leaned against the bright blue wall.
"I don't know,"
he said. The boys sat on Ryan's top bunk, surrounded by his favorite books and magazines. Matt looked around. He picked up a black book with gold letters.
"What's this? Haven't you seen that before?"
Ryan asked.
"That's my Book of Mormon."
"Oh, yeah,"
Matt nodded.
"That's kind of like your Bible, right?"
"Sort of. It's scripture like the Bible, but it talks about a different group of people. They lived in the Americas when Jesus was alive, and he visited them too."
"Cool,"
said Matt, flipping through it.
"I actually have an extra copy. Do you want to take it home?"
"Sure, why not?"
The boys walked downstairs to the bookshelf. Ryan found the copy and handed it to Matt.
"Thanks. I can check it out when I get home."
"Want to go jump on the trampoline?"
"Definitely."
The boys raced outside and kicked off their shoes. They climbed on the trampoline and bounced until it was time for Matt to go home. On his way out, he picked up his new book and said goodbye. Later that night, as Ryan was reading scriptures before bed, Mom came in to say goodnight.
"Guess what, Mom? I gave Matt a Book of Mormon today."
"Really?"
said Mom, sitting on the bed.
"That's great. Do you think he'll read it?"
"I don't know. He might just put it on his dresser and forget about it."
Mom nodded.
"That might happen, but you never know. Sometimes doing one little thing can have a ripple effect, like when you throw a rock in a lake. The ripples from one small rock can get surprisingly big."
Ryan remembered throwing rocks into Silver Lake last month and watching the ripples grow bigger and bigger.
"Did you know that on Dad's mission in Japan, every person he baptized told him that another church member or missionary had talked to them about the church before? Even though they didn't get baptized the first time they heard about the church, they remembered the people who had talked to them, and it helped them choose baptism when they were ready."
Ryan wondered if Matt remembered the times Ryan had invited him to church. Matt had come twice, but he was usually busy doing other things with his family on Sundays.
I hope Matt at least opens it. Maybe not now, but someday.
Mom stood up to leave.
Remember, you can't always see the impact right away, but little actions make a big difference.
The next day before school, Ryan found Matt.
So, did you check out the book?
Matt nodded.
I read a couple of pages, but the funny thing is, my older brother Sam found it, and he read the whole first chapter.
Really? Cool.
The bell rang to go inside. As Ryan walked to class, he smiled.
I guess I just saw my first ripple.
The author lives in Utah, USA.
Sidebar. My teacher asked me to come and talk about my church and school, and I brought in my scriptures. My class asked me questions about what I believe. Then I gave my teacher the Book of Mormon. She said she would read it. Chloe D., age 11, Somerset, England.
End of the story, The Ripple Effect. Read by Wes and Ethan Nelson and Kate, Noah, and Amelie Strongen.
Prayers and Pumpkins by Rachel L., age 10, Illinois, USA. Every year in Nauvoo, there's a fun event called the Pumpkin Walk. There are carved pumpkins along the streets and tasty treats to eat. My family and I were walking along the Pumpkin Walk when, all of a sudden, I couldn't see my family. I was scared. I walked up and down the street looking for them. I decided to say a prayer. I prayed that I could find my parents. I felt like I should talk to the first missionaries I saw. I also felt that I should walk to the car. As I walked toward our car, I saw two missionaries. When I got to them, I realized they weren't missionaries. It was Elder L. Tom Perry and his wife. They helped me find my family. I am grateful I found help when I was lost. I learned that God answers my prayers. Note: Elder Perry was a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles from 1974 until he died in 2015. End of the story, Prayers and Pumpkins. Read by Amelie Strongen.
For Parents of Little Ones. Because the Song of the Righteous is a prayer, see Doctrine and Covenants, section 25, verse 12, music has power to invite the Holy Ghost and bless your family. Whether your musical skill includes playing the piano or pressing a play button, use that gift to help your little ones. Here are some ideas. When your little ones are getting grouchy, you can soften their hearts with a song. Singing a reverent primary song together or playing sacred music in the background can turn frowns upside down. Singing silly rhyming songs is a great way to have fun together and teach your child new words. To encourage creativity, find some classical pieces. Play the music and give your child some art supplies. Ask them to paint something that matches the music. They'll love the chance for self-expression, and you'll love that they're learning to enjoy good music. On a rainy day when you're stuck inside, boost your child's mood and heart rate by dancing to fast-moving action songs. You'll be building their motor skills, too. You can read past letters at friendfplo.lds.org. End of the article for Parents of Little Ones. Read by Rena Nelson.
Hi, friends.
Thank you for the story, Forever Brothers. I went to the temple to be sealed to my forever family. Danielle, age 3, Idaho, USA.
I read my scriptures every day. Oscar, age 5, Somerset, England.
It's fun to wave at the garbage truck and mailman. I like to make things to get them on holidays because it makes them happy. Eden, age 3, Utah, USA.
Help take care of my great-grandma. Get her a walker. Hold doors for her. Carry things for her. Help make food for her. Give her hugs. Dallin, age 5, Michigan, USA.
End of the article, Hi Friends. Read by Gabe Strongen and Ocean Patello.
Sandbox Sounds by Jennifer Maddie. Three friends play in the sandbox. Bryn drops pebbles into a bucket and hears plink plunk. Bryn shakes the bucket. Rattle, rattle, say the pebbles. Ezra scoops sand with his shovel. Shoosh, shoosh, goes the sand. Mia taps the side of the sandbox with two sticks. Tap, tap, beat the sticks. The three friends play a song. Rattle, rattle, say the pebbles. Shoosh, shoosh, goes the sand. Tap, tap, beat the sticks. What should we call our song? Asks Bryn. How about sandbox sounds? Says Ezra. Perfect, says Mia. Rattle, rattle, shoosh, shoosh, tap, tap, sings the sandbox. End of the article, Sandbox Sounds, by Jennifer Maddy. Read by Shannon Nelson.
Finding sounds. Heavenly Father gave us ears to hear all kinds of sounds. What sounds do you think these things could make? What things can you find at your house that would make fun sounds? End of the article, Finding Sounds, read by Margot Patillo.
Stories of Jesus. I Want to Follow Jesus, by Kim Webb Reed. One day, Jesus climbed on a ship. He asked the fishermen to launch it into the water. He stood on the ship and taught crowds of people on the shore. Then Jesus told a fisherman named Peter to let his nets down into the water. Peter said he hadn't caught any fish all day, but he would try again. This time, Peter caught enough fish to fill two boats. Jesus asked the fishermen to leave their boats and follow him. He wanted them to be his disciples. Jesus' disciples listened as he taught about Heavenly Father. They watched Jesus heal the sick and show love to others. After Jesus died, the disciples did what they had seen Jesus do. They taught, healed, and loved. I can teach others about Jesus by what I say and do. I can heal people's hurt feelings with kindness. I can help take care of people who are sick or poor. I will show love, like Jesus. From Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. End of Stories of Jesus. I Want to Follow Jesus, by Kim Webb Reed. Read by Kate Strongen.
Primary with the Prophet, by Christine Merrill, based on a true story. Sam's head felt hot. He had a runny nose. His sister Martha was sick too. Mom said Sam and Martha were too sick to go to church.
Can we play with trucks?
Sam asked.
Not right now,
Mom said.
We're going to have our own primary.
How can I have primary without my teacher?
Sam asked.
Who'll give a talk?
Martha asked.
I have a plan.
Mom winked at them.
I can be the teacher, and I know someone very special who can give the talk.
Who?
Sam asked.
You'll see.
Sam and Martha went to Martha's room. They set up three chairs.
Welcome to our pretend primary.
Then they sang, I am a child of God, and said a prayer. Martha chose more songs to sing. Mom told a story about Jesus. Sam and Martha colored pictures. Sam liked their pretend primary, but who was going to give the talk? There was nobody there except Sam, Martha, and Mom. Finally, Mom got her laptop. She put it on Martha's bed.
Now we have a special guest. President Thomas S. Monson is here to talk to us.
Mom clicked on a video on the computer screen. President Monson started telling them a story. Sam smiled. He liked his special primary with the prophet. The author lives in Maryland, USA.
End of the story, Primary with the Prophet. Read by Amelie and Gabe Strongen, Ocean Patillo, and Rena Nelson.